Good morning. How is everyone this morning? Did you have a good week? Did God do something in your life that was really extraordinary? Did He answer a prayer? Did He use you in some particular way? What has God done this past week? Sometimes I think when we gather in the mornings, it's kind of like a pit stop, that we're out there racing in life, and this is the time that we kind of just pull up, get the tires changed, the oil, and so forth, and get refilled with His grace and His mercy, which is what we need. I need it daily, hour by hour, moment by moment. So it's my prayer that God would speak to us this morning, and that He would speak to us through His Word. I know of no other way to hear Him but through His Word. And we've been in the book of Ephesians, as you know. Hopefully you're not getting tired of the book of Ephesians as we travel through the book of Ephesians. And hopefully, as we go through the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is going through you. Amen? We need the Word of God to go through us and change us, because God's ultimate goal is to craft us into His image. That's His ultimate goal. So as we gather here today, hopefully God will open your heart and your spirit so you can hear Him, truly and sincerely hear Him. And as we've been in the book of Ephesians, we've seen in chapter 1, we've seen the wealth of God. And I believe we've experienced God's wealth here this morning. We've seen some baptisms. We've seen God bring some souls into His kingdom, because He has great value placed upon a soul to bring them into His heavenly kingdom. And we've seen prayer, the way we access these spiritual resources that we have in Christ. The fact that you are accepted, that you are redeemed, that you are forgiven. It's an amazing thing as we access it in prayer. And we stay focused upon the head, who is Christ. We must stay focused upon the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. And then He moves us into the witness, and we've even seen the witness of God this morning through the worship, through the testimonies, through the missions that we should support His witness. You see, God wants to pour out His wealth. He wants to pour out His witness, and He wants to pour out His wisdom on us this morning. And we saw the witness in the second chapter. As God reminded us, He reminds us from whence we came. Out of death comes life, and He made us alive in Christ Jesus. And so as we look at this book, I would encourage you to think through the Scriptures. Think through what Paul is saying underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Because as you begin to think through a book of the Bible, you begin to think His thoughts, and His thoughts begin to fill your spirit. And then He begins to give you an inner witness of the Holy Spirit of God. And you begin to grasp hold of that by your will, and it begins to change your behavior. And you begin to look more and more like Jesus Christ as He fills you with the Holy Spirit of God. And that is the process that He has us in right now. He has us in that process. And so this morning we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. And here, Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, "For this reason." And then in verse 14, he says, "For this reason." And Paul simply can't get over the mystery that's being revealed, the body of Christ. And so he's trying to get to a point where he's going to enter a period of praise and worship. But he pauses, because he's reflecting upon the invention of God, the body of Christ. It's you. In the mind of God, in the mind of Christ, the body of Christ. And he's thinking about this, and he cannot get over it. And so he pauses, as if he hit pause on the recorder, and he goes back to reemphasize you. Let's go to him and ask him for his grace. Father, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just guide us through your words that you spoke to the Apostle Paul underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And Father, I pray you lift these words off the page and you make them so real and you fill them so full of your life. And Lord, you open our hearts, you open our spirit, and you pour them into us. And you help us to see what Paul is seeing as he is receiving a revelation from the Almighty God in heaven who sits upon the throne. And you're pouring out this revelation to him, and he simply cannot get over it. God, pour that into us, to where we simply will never get over what you have created in eternity past, that exists in eternity present, that goes on to eternity future. The body of Christ on earth, where you dwell this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name, amen. There's a lot of inventions that get made throughout the course of history that change the way we do something, right? There was the light bulb in 1879, Thomas Edison. We could see in the dark. The automobile came in 1896. Ransom Olds, the Oldsmobile, showed up in 1901. The computer shows up in 1944 to 1949. Several people began to create this, what some believe is a monster. Had to go to the dentist this week, went into the office, they sat me in front of a computer screen. The office was completely, totally paperless. It was an amazing place. And so I sat down, typed everything in, and the computer has transformed the way we do things, the way we process information. It has changed the way that we view life. It has connected the entire planet. You can hop on the internet. You can go home, hop on, and you can be somewhere in India in seconds. Talk to somebody, send someone an email over there in a matter of minutes. It has changed the way we view life. And then 37 years ago, April 1973, Dr. Martin Cooper, he made a phone call. It was the first cell phone call. How many of you have cell phones? Changed the way we communicate, right? Now, people text, they send you funny things that you open up, you got to shut off. It's all kinds of things go on. I was going to bring mine because mine is just kind of a normal little phone. But the amazing thing that you can do on my phone, maybe you have a phone like this, you can watch TV on it. I sat there in a dentist's office, I was watching TV, Fox News. It was awesome. And I can't get over the fact I can watch TV on this little thing I can hold in my hand. It's changed the way that we view life. And see, that's where the Apostle Paul is with the church, the invention of God's church. He simply cannot get over it. And he says, for this reason. And to receive a revelation from God requires you to be conditioned. To receive the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit of God requires for you to be conditioned. We are positioned in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes, that's where we are. But God has to condition you to be able to receive, to become a good receiver. And that is what he had to do with the Apostle Paul, so Paul could receive this amazing revelation that had not been revealed throughout history. The prophets, the Old Testament prophets, they desired to look into it, but they could not see it. And so God begins to condition the Apostle Paul, and he conditions some of us in the same way. And the revelation comes through, the Holy Spirit comes through into our lives, and we can clearly see something, and he begins the process, and he begins to break us. Brokenness and humility. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, Paul describes his spiritual resume. He had all the credentials. He was schooled under Gamaliel, the Einstein of religion of his day. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was zealous in persecuting the church and pursuing the law. He was a Pharisee, blameless. He had it together. He had the credentials. But God had to build into his life a spiritual resume of brokenness so God could pour into his heart and into his soul and into his spirit the revelation of God. He wrote almost 50% of the New Testament. And so Paul says, I was in labors more than any. I was in prison, beaten without number, danger of death 5 times, 39 leashes from the Jews, 3 times beaten with rods, stoned. I was shipwrecked 3 nights, 3 times. I was in the deep, night and a day, frequent journeys, danger in the river, danger with robbers, danger in my countrymen, danger in Gentiles, danger in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, from false brothers. I had labor and hardship. I had many sleepless nights. How many can relate to sleepless nights? Amen. Hunger and thirst, without food, cold, exposed, and I had the burden of the church upon me. And it was through that brokenness that and the tribulation that the revelation came. And it was through his humility. Paul was a deeply humble man. And he talks about himself in Scripture. And he gives you an image of this humility, his brokenness. Sometimes God has to break us, our will, our self-reliance, so that we become totally, completely dependent upon him. And the brokenness becomes a lifestyle. It's an ongoing process because we easily drift back to that dependence upon ourselves to get the job done instead of relying upon the power of God and the Holy Spirit to work through us. Sometimes he has to break a church. Break the will of that church. So his spirit can flow like never before and to rise it up once again. Humility, a quality that's so hard to describe and so hard to understand what it is. And he says, I'm least of all the apostles. I'm not fitted to be called an apostle. I'm the foremost of all sinners. I was with you in fear and trembling. I didn't come to you with fancy words and persuasive ideas. Because I wanted your faith to rest upon the power of God and not upon the power of the pulpit, but on the power of God to transfer that dependence we have upon the pulpit to the power of the God of the universe. And that's how he sustains his church, the faith. He says, I look at myself and there's nothing in me that comes of any value. My competence is from God. And then they criticized Paul. They said his letters, they're heavy. His personal presence is not impressive. And his speech is despicable. An historian said this about him. He was bald-headed, bow-legged, strongly built, small in size, with eyebrows that met in the middle. Had a large, crooked nose. But he was full of grace. Is that the kind of guy you'd hire? Second Corinthians 12:11, he says, I'm a nobody. Maybe some of you feel like a nobody. That's a good place to be because God thinks you are a somebody. He really does. And then he says, I'm unskilled in speech. This is the Apostle Paul talking about himself. He says, I'm unskilled in speech. He was not a good speaker. But not in knowledge. He'd received a revelation from God that he could not get over. It's the same revelation that Peter received from God the Father, from God the Father in heaven, when Jesus asked Peter in Matthew 16, he says, Who do they say that I am? And they were saying, you're this and you're that. And Peter said, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but God in heaven revealed that to you. And upon this rock, upon that revelation, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Nothing can come against you, the church, because Jesus is in the process of building that now. And so Paul can't get over the invention of the church. And he says, for this reason, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. And the word dispensation is the idea of administration. It's the idea of stewardship of the grace of God, as Paul begins to make the mystery very clear. And God has an administration. He has a structure. He has a functional structure through which He pours out His wealth, His witness, and His wisdom into the church so that the church can deliver the ministry through how it is structured to a world that does not know Him. And so administration, you mentioned that word, sounds a little boring. Management, leadership, how things are put together. But you need a functional structure so that the ministry will not be hindered, so that it can flow through us in a free way, so that the wealth of God can flow through the structure, the witness of God can flow through the structure, and the wisdom of God can flow through the structure. Because you know what? We have angels that are watching us this very hour. Peter tells us that we have angels that are watching the church do what we do right now. It's kind of scary. And you know what they're looking for? They're looking for the wisdom of God in the church. They're looking to see how we've put all this together. They're looking to see if we've gone to the headquarters in heaven and solicited what He wants done through us and how He wants us to set it up. They're looking for the wisdom of God that flows down out of heaven. Moses, in Genesis chapter 18, was doing the work of God. And his father-in-law had to come to him and say, Moses, you're going to burn out. You're doing too much. You need a functional structure. So Moses raised up some leaders, trained them up. He set some over 100, some over 50, some over 20, some over 10, so that the ministry of God could move forward. Nehemiah, he shows up to help them rebuild the wall, right? And what's the first thing he do? He begins to go around and make an assessment of what is wrong and where the weak spots are, where the strengths are. And then he begins to encourage them and he pulls them together and he begins to motivate them to stay at it, even in the face of obstacles. He gave them a functional structure for them to work through so they could deliver the ministry of God. So as this church looks at itself, it's a time of evaluation. Take a look at the structure. How are we organized? Maybe it's not functional. Maybe we need to shift this or shift that so it becomes functional, so that it flows, so that God's wealth will flow through it, God's witness will flow through it, God's wisdom will flow through it freely outside these four walls. And so Paul is given this revelation of the grace of God, and have that by revelation he might make known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, in which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and the prophets. And here's the mystery that is made clear, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the entry point. It's the door through which you enter to be a part of the body of Christ. Of which I became a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. It was a supernatural power flowing through Paul to me. And here's his humility. Who am less than the least. That's pretty low. He says, I am less than the least of all the saints. This grace was given to me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, the wealth of God. And you go back to chapter 1 and you can read about the wealth of God. That we were chosen before the foundation of the world, predestined, adopted, accepted, forgiven. He makes known to us the mystery of His will. He seals us with the Holy Spirit. The wealth of God. And Paul says that I should communicate the truth and the wealth of God, the riches, the deep wealth, the riches of Jesus Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which is from the beginning of the ages and has been hidden in God. It's been hidden in God. So as we look at these words and we reflect upon these words, the Spirit of God ushers us into the very presence and into the very mind of God. And on the mind of God was you and the church. And as I look out, and I've said this before, as I look out and I see your faces, this is what Paul could not get over. It was you. He couldn't get over the fundamental fact of the creation of the church, the body of Christ, where there is unity and oneness and we work together like never before. And the angels look down to see how this is functioning. And the world is looking to see how it is functioning. They want to see the wealth of God. They want to see the witness of God. They want to see the wealth of God. And it's through Jesus Christ, verse 10, to the intent, the purpose. Now we get the purpose. That now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. And it's in the church. His wisdom, according to the eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. His wisdom. How do we know when the wisdom of God is functioning? In our lives, in our homes, in our church, in a meeting. How do you know? How do you see the wisdom of God? What is it that the angels are looking for? What is it that was in the mind of God when He said, the wisdom of God? Well, James gives us some insight in James chapter 3, verse 13. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Who are those people out there that are wise and understanding? Let him show it by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. Then he contrasts it with another kind of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and selfish ambition, self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, it is sensual, it is demonic. In contrast to the wisdom that flows from above. For where there is envy and there's selfish seeking, confusion and disorder, and every evil thing will be present. That's how we see if the wisdom of God is flowing through the functional structure of the church, the body of Christ. He says the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, it's certain. There's a certainty about it. It's peaceable. There's contentment in it. You just seem to know that this is what God wants to do. It is gentle, mild. It's willing to yield. It's not into controlling things. Persuadable to obey. Full of mercy. It helps the downtrodden. It has good fruits, good deeds. It's without partiality. It does not show preference. And it is not hesitant. And it's without hypocrisy. It is sincere. Now the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace by those who make this kind of peace. There need to be those peacemakers in the body of Christ for it to function according to how God has set it up in His mind from all of eternity. Because you're listening to the mind of God in these words. This is how He sees His church, the mystery that He revealed to the Apostle Paul through the Apostle Paul's brokenness and his humility. That he was able to receive this and write it down. In Galatians, in chapter 1, it says that the Apostle Paul never received any of this, nor was he taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach among the Gentiles, that I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia, and I returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went with Peter and James, and I talked about things, and then I went to Syria and Cilicia, and I was there for 14 years before God used me. And during those 14 years, God was building a brokenness and a humility in the Apostle Paul so he could receive this amazing revelation from God that he simply could not get over. The invention of God, the body of Christ. And as we go in verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him, therefore I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. The suffering. Through the tribulation came the revelation. And it's for your glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's for your glory. It's so that God understands it's that you understand how God sees you of great value and worth. Because of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He calls us out to be a part of and to work in His body, His ministry. And there are all kinds of ministries in this church that need your help, your gift, to shore them up, to strengthen them. And I know that He is nudging on your heart. He's put a burden in your soul for someone or something. And you might have different kinds of gifts that He wants to use in the structure of this church, the ministry of this church. As you see God's revelation, as you see His body, He has a place specifically designed just for you. So He can raise up His body and begin to use it in extraordinary ways. And He might take you through some periods of brokenness and humility. So you become very, very useful for His glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Jesus, for the those periods in our lives when you begin to build that brokenness into us, to bring us to the end of ourselves. And the only place we have is to look up and receive more of who you are, and to realize who we really are in Christ. And you build in that humility, and you break our self-will and our self-reliance. And then you begin to show us more of who Jesus is. And then you begin to open up the Scriptures to us like we've never seen them before. And then you begin to usher us into the very throne room of God. And we begin to see that Jesus is seated there. And we begin to intercede as He is interceding for us this very hour. And as the angels desire to look down in and to see the wisdom of God and the wealth of God, the witness of God in our lives. So, Lord God, during this time of invitation and decision, if there are those here that need to just simply come and pray, let them come. If there's anyone here that has never accepted you into their life, they realize that they are living without you, that they would come. Or someone just has a burden, they need to come and pray. Lord, we release this time to you, and we release this church to you as you want to do in it that would be pleasing in your sight. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.